The information presented on this program is not intended to take the place of your personal physician's advice and is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Discuss this information with your own physician or healthcare provider to determine what is right for you. Welcome to Sanitas at sanitasradio.com, because your health and longevity should not be classified information. And now, here's your host, Mel Fabregas.
Greetings to everyone around the world, and a warm welcome to another edition of Sanitas at sanitasradio.com. I'm your host, Mel Fabregas, and I sincerely thank you for joining me once again. And to listen to tonight's full interview and all of our material, all you need to do is subscribe by going to sanitasradio.com. And if you would like to write to me, you'd like to be a guest on this radio program, or would like to submit a guest suggestion, I'd love to hear from you. Just go to our website and click on the contact link. And like us on Facebook. Modern science is finally recognizing that energy constitutes a blueprint of the physical body. Meanwhile, the energetic vibration of sound can be used to change that blueprint in ways that foster health and well-being. Genes literally express themselves in different ways when exposed to specific kinds of sound. Equipped with a tuning fork and years worth of observational and scientific references, tuning the human biofield is a determined, intellectual, and intuitive journey into the healing nature of therapeutic sound. Tonight's special guest began offering sound therapy in her massage practice, and then she soon discovered she could use tuning forks to locate and hear disturbances in the energy field or biofield that surrounded each of her clients. She found these energetic disturbances correlated with the emotional and physical traumas her clients had experienced throughout their lives. Passing the forks through these areas in the biofield not only corrected the distorted vibrational sounds she was hearing, but also imparted consistent, predictable, and sometimes immediate relief from pain, anxiety, insomnia, migraines, depression, fibromyalgia, digestive disorders, and a host of other complaints. Tonight's special guest is Eileen Day McCusick, who has researched the effects of audible sound on the human body and its biofield since 1996. She has a master's degree in integrative education and is currently pursuing a PhD in integral health. She teaches privately at a Johnson State College. She maintains a sound therapy practice in Stowe, Vermont. And directly from the beautiful state of Vermont, I'm privileged to welcome Eileen Day McCusick. Hello, Eileen. That was a long intro, but it was well worth it.
Great. Thanks.
Well, tuning the biofield. First of all, why don't we define the biofield, and then you'll take us back to 1996 when all this began for you.
Sure. Well, let's see. The biofield is a term that was coined by National Institute for Health scientists back in 1994. And it is basically a scientific term for what has historically in esoteric traditions been referred to as the aura or the human energy field. It is the diffuse electromagnetic system of the body. And we see it as being toroidal in structure and extending about 5 feet on either side of us, of our physical body, and about 2 or 3 feet above our head and below our feet. So that is, the basic description of it. I've expanded the description a little bit through my own research and have come to believe or perceive that it is where all our memories are stored. And that's the basis of the biofield tuning process, is finding, accessing, and modulating these vibrational standing waves that are held in this magnetic field around the body.
Why can some people see it? Because I've heard people say, oh, Mel, I can see your colors right now and your aura. Or that I didn't know that biofield was the same as the aura. Why can people see it and others cannot?
Well, I think we all have certain abilities and gifts. You know, when my kids were younger, I have two boys now who are 15 and 18. And when they were younger, they could see colors around people. And when they got older, they couldn't anymore. So I think it's a natural tendency that we all have to be able to perceive these subtle magnetic structures, because they definitely seem to have mass. You know, my experience in working with my hands in people's fields, my forks in people's fields for 20 years now, I can say that there is a real structure there and a real mass, and that people who have that, who have retained that sensitivity, can see the different colors. You know, it's a gift like anything else. My younger son can pick up any instrument and play any song by ear. Right? Uh-huh. I can't do that.
Yeah. Now, I've heard, for example, I'm not too far away from Sedona, where you have these aura picture taking, you know, establishments where they can take a picture of you. If they go through you, for example, and they go through some biofeel adjustment, can you actually see a difference of before and after if you see a picture of your biofield?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. You know, and there's all kinds of devices like that out there these days. With biofield tuning, it's such a powerful intervention that it's actually really fun to use before and after, you know, devices that measure a variety of things, because you can definitely see profound state changes.
Give us an example. I mean, I know it's very difficult because everybody's listening to us and not seeing the pictures. You know, and folks, just put in your mind's eye. Let's say you have a picture of a biofield. Give us an example of what a tuning of a biofield would look like after.
Well, it could look like any number of things. I've played with a number of different devices. So what you were saying, that sort of aura camera, most aura cameras that if you're at a health fair or something like that, are a device that you rest your hands on. And what it does is it reads the information in your meridians and extrapolates information from that. There are really very few devices that will actually visualize the aura or the biofield as it is. So, but I've worked with, you know, that kind of thing. I've worked with a thing called a biofield viewer. That's probably the closest that we have to visualizing it. And that's the same kind of technology that they use to determine atmospheric densities and fluctuations. So the biofield really is a kind of atmosphere around the body, and it does have these low pressure areas and high pressure areas and storms and things like that. I've used medical thermal imaging, which is more of a, you know, scientifically based thing that's actually measuring the surface temperature of the skin. For example, on my Facebook page, if you scroll through the pictures, you'll find a medical thermal image of someone who had sinus congestion. And the before picture shows a lot of blue all around in the face, which shows coolness and stagnation. I worked on them for about 15 minutes around their head, clearing the stagnation in their field. And then the after image shows that there's much more movement, much less blue, and the person experienced less congestion. When we did some things with those aura cameras, we found that if people were tired, that it warmed them up, it got energy moving, it brightened them, colors became more complex, and more refined seeming. There was one person who was sort of over-energized, and she actually got toned down, which was kind of neat to see. So there's many different ways of playing with these different tools, but they pretty much always reflect a significant change of state.
It's very interesting, because I remember years ago at a conference, I met this man, and we became friends, Dr. Stanislav Ojak. He's a physicist, and he was taking a picture of me, but he left the lens cap on. And I naively said, hey, Dr. Ojak, you kept the cap on. He goes, that's exactly why I'm taking the picture. Apparently he takes pictures with the cap on and he can see the field, and he makes such a great analysis of that. Have you ever heard of him?
I have, yeah.
So let's say somebody goes to you with a symptom. Exactly what happens? I like to know what makes things tick. Exactly what happens when you actually tune them?
Well, what's neat about working with sound is that ultimately everything is sound. So our physical body, our mental body, our emotional body, our ancestral body, are all different bandwidths of frequency. And a tuning fork will produce technically an infinite number of overtones and undertones. So we're working with a very, very broad range, a very broad spectrum of frequency. So I'm able to interact with all of these different bodies simultaneously. And as a consequence, this work is effective for a whole variety of ailments, something from a compression injury in a joint. You know, sound opens up space between molecules. It's why it is used in lithotripsy, which is the practice of using pulsed infrasonic sound waves to break up kidney stones. When a wave front hits the stone, it opens up space between the molecules and the stone will break apart. Most ailments in the body are due to congestion of some kind or another. So health is a state of flow and illness is stagnation, congestion. So I will pass a tuning fork very slowly from about 6 feet away from the body, and I will start to move in towards the body on the plane of a treatment table. And I'm feeling in my fingertips for areas where the biomagnetic field becomes dense. And in that area of density, there may also be a chaotic sound that is represented in the overtones and undertones. And what I found is that these areas in our field where we have congestion and distortion are very often related to traumatic memories, experiences, difficult time periods in our life, difficult relationships. And the tuning fork will identify these areas. And the moment that we find it, it will resonate with the distortion that's present, but then it will begin to entrain the body into a more coherent expression. It's as if the body's organizing intelligence recognizes its own incoherence being reflected back to it through the sound that the tuning fork is making and will spontaneously auto-adjust or auto-tune itself and release the resistance. So that whatever area of tension in the mind, in the body that is being held in resistance to this particular trauma or discomfort lets go. And so we've been able to treat, you know, physical pain, anxiety. Anxiety is just, it's a waveform pattern being held in different cells. Depression is a pattern in the field. It's a tonal quality. If someone has depression, it often sits off the left shoulder and it has a kind of long kind of undertone to it. Different emotions have different frequency signatures that we can hear in the overtone of the fork. For example, if someone burns themselves suddenly or is attacked or has some kind of sudden shock, there's a particular tone that sounds like alarm. And it really sounds like alarm. I just taught a class this past weekend and, you know, in a room of 20 people, it's very evident. And this is not subtle. You know, as the tuning forks are moving through this changing terrain, this vibrational pattern, they are broadcasting the information that is present there. It's kind of like a needle on an album. And as we find these areas of noise and resistance and get and allow and support the body in releasing and resolving them, all manner of symptoms also just sort of fade away in the process.
Take us back to 1996. I believe that was the year when you started experimenting with all of this.
Yes, I had a part-time practice doing massage therapy and had been interested in the healing arts since I was probably about 18. I started reading self-help books and realized that I had an interest in natural health, natural medicine, wellness, kind of branching out into science and spirituality and philosophy, and really read all kinds of books. I'm very much a researcher by nature. So when I get interested in a particular topic, I will go out and read everything I can on the subject. And someone had given me a book, and I'm not quite sure how it ended up in my hands, but it was a book about the use of color, sound, and music in healing. And I read this right on the heels of being introduced to quantum physics and the notion that there's no such thing as physical matter, that it's all vibration. And I remember thinking, well, if everything is vibration and I'm vibration, then treating vibration with vibration is very logical. It's very elegant. And I went out and I bought every single book I could possibly find on the subject. And in 1996, there weren't many.
when I was getting through the end of my stack, when I got a catalog in the mail that had a set of tuning forks for healing in it, and I ordered them on impulse and had a few clients in my massage therapy practice that I was comfortable enough with to say, would you be a guinea pig? Can I just play with these and, you know, see what we notice? And right off the bat, I noticed a number of things that really surprised me. One was that I thought if you activated a tuning fork and approached someone with it and waved it around their body, that it was going to produce a consistent tone. It was going to be an input. What I didn't anticipate was that the tone would actually change as I moved it around their body. Sometimes it would go very loud, and in other places it would go very soft or almost disappear. Some places would sound sharp or flat or chaotic or full of static. So there was this great variation in the quality of the tone that was produced. And I started to notice that there was consistencies. Like if someone said, I have pain in the shoulder, then it might sound really sharp. And if I kept on introducing it to that area, just holding it over the body, in a little while, it would start to sound clear. It wouldn't sound sharp anymore. And then the person would come back the next week and say, all that pain in my shoulder went away after you did that. And I started getting all kinds of really interesting feedbacks about people feeling less anxious, feeling more clear, feeling lighter. And they were so intrigued, and as was I, with the process, that they kept asking for sound. So in pretty short order, my massage practice, which I went into massage because I had been thinking that I wanted to become a naturopath, but I didn't go to college right out of high school. And I wasn't prepared to spend, 12 years in college or whatever it was going to take to become a naturopath. So massage therapy seemed like a good starting point, although I knew that I never really wanted to be a massage therapist. It was just a point of entry.
A bridge.
And so, yeah. And so it was, it was exciting to sort of find my calling pretty quickly with the sound. And I did this part-time for years. The tuning fork set that I got was called the Solar Harmonic Spectrum, which was essentially the C major scale. And it came with a really simple little instruction book that said you use the note of C over the root chakra and the note of D over the second chakra and so on up the body till you got to the crown where you used B. And I used that system for a long time. And, it was always intriguing, but I have to tell you, this was in Connecticut in the 1990s. And when I was telling people that I was using tuning forks to balance people's chakras, just imagine the kind of I got, right? And I'm very, very logic driven. You know, if you ever take those right, left brain tests, I'm extremely left brain, very analytical, very much a critical thinker and a skeptic. And so for people to be perceiving me as some kind of airy fairy, woo woo, new age person was incredibly uncomfortable. And so, I didn't really want to be a healer, but this was just really interesting, and it kind of piqued my curiosity and kind of kept me in the thread of healing. So I did it part-time until 2006, when I made a discovery that changed everything, led me to go to college to get degrees, do my master's thesis, which turned into my book, Tuning the Human Biofield, and has really kind of led to the life I'm living now, which is traveling and speaking at consciousness conferences and teaching the method.
Do you think this modality is, I don't want to say mainstream because I'm sure it's still not there, but at least in the alternative health community, you think it's being embraced more than used to?
Oh, things have changed so much, I think, especially since 2012. And you know what's happening now, which, having been in this for 20 years now, sound is starting to become more in people's consciousness. There's sound baths at yoga classes and gongs and, healing, singing bowls. And it's really starting to emerge into the collective consciousness, which is really neat to see. So sound healing is emerging, and biofield science, which is, my whole other area of study, is also really emerging. When I first started searching things like PubMed, for example, when I was doing my thesis research in 2011, there were very, very few articles that I was able to find on the biofield. And just in the last year alone, the biofield research is exploding.
So it's, you know, it's being called the hottest frontier in science at the moment, the hottest frontier in medical science. So, you know, these two fields, these two fronts that I've been kind of on the frontier of now are just starting to open up into the more general public. And so, you know, that informs the collective consciousness. So it doesn't seem so weird or foreign or I've never heard of that or what is that? You know, even if people haven't been directly exposed to it, the morphic field of humanity has been. And so it's just more comfortable. It's more digestible for people even than it was just a few years ago.
And when it comes to identifying blockages of flow and distortions in the field, how do you actually see it?
It's more of a feeling sense. So, you know, I'm just coming out of teaching a 3-day level one class. I've been teaching since 2010. And what I find is that, you know, as we're holding the tuning fork and we're coming into this place in the record where there is distortion and accumulation of energy, you can actually feel in your fingertips that the fork starts to vibrate more because it's the interplay of the waveform being generated by the tuning fork and the standing wave that's present there. You know, if you said drop two pebbles into water, those waveforms are going to intersect, right? So this is an intersection of waveforms. And in that intersection, there's information about the nature of that particular traumatic experience. You know, we've become so literate and so linear and so word oriented that we take experiences which are really vibrational electromagnetic patterns in our nervous system and we slap a label on them. But what is really going on is this sort of underlying universal language of vibration. You know, it's the same language that dogs or horses or dolphins or cats speak. You know, it's how animals communicate with us and how we communicate with them because we're sensing this vibrational language. I talk about in my book how I did an experiment doing a tune-up on two different plants that were hooked up to a polygraph machine. And one of the plants was a Amazonian rainforest plant that was a medicinal plant. And that plant accepted and received and enjoyed its tune-up. But then the next plant that I worked on was a bamboo plant. And as I approached it, you know, and this has been in a lab and it's been stuck with probes and all kinds of stuff, it actually exhibited the vibrational frequency that I had come to recognize in humans as fear. And I said to the person, wow, I was like, this plant's afraid of me. And he said, it's so wild, Eileen, that you're saying that because I had a psychic in here last week, a really good psychic who works for the Colorado State Police. And she told me that plant was afraid. So all of nature really shares this common vibrational language. And as humans, you know, now that everybody's literate and we read, we've really lost touch with that. But that is the language that is encoded in our biofields and that is reflected by the tuning forks. And because it's a language that we know, I have been able to decode what I call the biofield anatomy map, which basically states that the record of different emotional frequency signatures resides in different areas in our fields.
And when it comes to symptoms, have you found sound balancing to be effective for most symptoms? And how do you measure it? Of course, it's how people feel, but have you been able to scientifically measure the difference?
Well, we've done a little bit with instrumentation. I did some work with a biophoton counter that was really fascinating. So biophotons are weak coherent light that is emitted and absorbed by all the cells in the body. Where they've discovered that we actually have this light signaling system that underlies our chemical and mechanical body, that all of these communications that are going on a cell-to-cell basis are happening at light speed, not just at the slow pace of chemical interaction. And so various research that's been being conducted since the 70s has shown that organisms under stress emit more biophotons than, say, a meditator. So if you put a meditator in front of a biophoton counter or a biophoton camera, they actually give off very little light. But if you take something that's been injured or a person under stress, they're just sort of shooting off biophotons all over the place. So I formed a hypothesis that biofield tuning reduces biophoton emission. and was able to conduct an experiment where we measured the emission coming from the throat of a person. And then I gave them a tune-up. So basically combing in from the edge of their field on either side of the throat. And then we measured their biophoton emission again, and it was decreased by 28%. So the process brought more coherence, less stress. And that particular individual had a lot of throat, speaking throat chakra trauma in her childhood around not being able to speak, not being heard, that sort of thing. So she actually had a lot of distortion and stuck energy in her throat chakra that we were able to get to come into a more coherent expression. So that's just one example of some of the measurements that I've done. But for the most part in clinic, what we're working with is people's subjective experience. So, you know, if someone comes in and they have anxiety, we'll do a few sessions, and then they come back and they say, wow, you know, it's been three sessions and I'm experiencing a 95% decrease in my symptoms of anxiety. And, you know, if someone has pain. Now, there are limitations to the work. If someone has a torn rotator cuff, if they have a torn meniscus, if they have a pinched nerve, you know, things are deep in the physiology. They can't be fixed by this process. But if what we're looking at is energetic, it's mental, it's emotional, it's patterns of tension, it's feelings, that sort of thing can have very, very profound outcomes. Other physical things that it's very helpful for are digestive distress. You know, just for example, with myself, I used to suffer from all of the sort of classic digestive issues, gas, bloating, indigestion, stomach aches, heartburn. And all of that was a consequence of my digestive fire being very low because my biofield was really out of order and very incoherent through my, you know, first, second, third, fourth chakras. And by receiving this work, which creates clarity and coherence and focus in the electromagnetic system, it restored my digestive fire and it basically eliminated all of those symptoms. And that's not uncommon, you know, working with people. I also had a tremendous amount of adrenal stress. I used to own an incredibly busy restaurant and nearly killed myself in it. And so,
oh, don't say that. I have a restaurant, so we don't go through stress.
So that was part of my digestive problems. You know, most people's issues with digestion are actually very often adrenal related. And so we have a protocol in biofield tuning called an adrenal rhythm reset, which is basically a process of locking phase with the adrenal rhythm, which when people are under prolonged stress becomes sort of stuck in something that's running too high and too fast and it can't get back out of it into its factory settings. And so we're able to entrain the adrenal rhythm back into its happy zone. And that stops the release of excess adrenaline into the system. And then that is also restorative to the digestive tract.
I just wonder how much of all of what we're discussing is looked upon with a serious eye by the medical industry, because as you said, you know, there are limitations. You cannot probably fix that torn meniscus, which I had one last year. And after I started grounding, it healed on its own rather quickly. Now, if you tell that to an orthopedist, he would say, oh, you probably didn't have a torn meniscus after all. Mm-hmm. Where do you see this going in the future? Would you see perhaps not a merger, but perhaps an understanding by the medical industry and perhaps a pharmaceutical industry that this is a modality that is serious enough to give consideration?
Well, I think that people really need evidence. You know, there's that Carl Sagan statement about, what is it?
Extraordinary evidence requires, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence.
That's right. So, you know, I've had a number of people come to my treatment table skeptical. Maybe they were dragged there by their kid or their partner, you know, and they're like, oh, this woo-woo thing of getting tuning forks waved around me. But I'll tell you what, once you're on the table and you start to hear how the tuning forks change and you start to see how accurate I am in picking out, you know, you had a head injury when you were 5, you have inflammation in the shoulder, your third cervical vertebrae is rotated 30 degrees, you know, your mother was crazy, like all of this information is contained in the field. And because I've just been, you know, logged so many hours, I have such an intimate understanding of the patterns and the language of vibration, it's extraordinarily convincing. So, you know, all a person needs to do is experience it in order to see. And I've worked really hard to learn how to frame it in language and context that people can understand, you know. So I've developed a number of different things to say to people to help it to be an acceptable to their mind and their way of thinking. You know, one example is, you know, if you get an EKG, for example, and they're putting sensors on your heart in order to read the electrical and sort of mechanical activity that's going on in there, those waves don't stop at your skin. They propagate. They propagate off your body. In fact, everything that's in your body is in motion, and everything that's in motion makes waves, and waves propagate. And we've all had the experience of like getting a bad vibe off of somebody, and you can tell that they're thinking and feeling and giving off edgy, incoherent vibrations because of how their patterns of tension are in their physiology. Just like a good mechanic can get in your car and take it for a ride and go, oh, that thunka, thunka, thunka that's going on, you know, you need a right. back left CV boot. So, you know, if you have arthritis in your right hip, but you don't have it in your left hip, I can tell by the sound that your right hip makes when I bounce sound off of it. Like, you know, I'm using it like sonar or like radar. I'm pinging your body and listening to the ping that comes back. And an arthritic joint makes a very different sound than a joint that's not arthritic.
What about people who have gone through an operation, as an example? I've heard that their scarring could actually affect the, because our bodies are electric, but if we have a scar, it could actually prevent that electricity from going around our body effectively. Do you lend credence to that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it is both within the physiology because it interferes with nerve conduction. You know, once you sever a nerve like that, it doesn't really necessarily grow right back through scar tissue. But scar tissue also exists in the biomagnetic field and so can stop the flow, you know, of the magnetic aspect, not just the electric aspect that we have in the body, but the magnetic aspect that surrounds the body. So, yeah, I do a lot of clearing of scar tissue in the field, which can help to release it in the body and then improve that circulation.
What about people who have, and I'm just thinking out of the box, I don't think you discuss this in your book, but I'm just thinking, we thought about scarring, but what about people who have tooth implants, mercury, and you name it, that can be blocking the transfer of energy throughout the body because of these implants in their teeth.
Yeah. There's not much to be done about that with my work. You know, if the physical impediment remains, there, you know, we can work to improve it in other ways, but you know, if people have a lot of metal in their mouth, they've got a lot of metal in their mouth and that's all there is to it.
What about digestive? A lot of people have blockages that it's probably one of the biggest reasons why they're depressed because, as somebody told me lately, Dr. David Perlmutter, that the majority, about 90% of our serotonin is produced in the microbiome in our stomach, not in our brain.
Yeah. Yeah, the microbiome, well, you know, that's one of the interesting patterns that I've observed in a lot of clients is that baby boomers were really like the first generation of humans ever to be given formula and not breast milk.
Right.
And one of the vital components of breast milk is that it seeds our microbiome with all of the diverse intestinal flora we need to not only digest our food, but to help to produce these kinds of chemical stories in our body. And we're looking at people who have had multiple generations now of bottle feeding. So there's a tremendous deficiency in the diversity of the, you know, the common American microbiome.
Isn't that interesting? I'm not a baby boomer, but I was pretty close. And I remember, well, not remember, but all my siblings, we were not breastfed because doctors said that the best thing to do is to have formula and you should be born via C-section and all these things that are against nature.
They're against nature. And then they even a C-section birth, you know, we receive microflora on the skin going through the vaginal canal.
That's right. Probiotics.
So, C-sections and bottle feeding. You know, I really made a connection between bottle feeding and like a history of digestive disorders, a history of depression, of frustration, of not bonding well with others. You know, it's pretty easy to see why the baby boomers have been so into the self-help movement, because they got off to such a difficult start. And the other piece of that was that they were fed on a schedule instead of on demand. So, you know, there was a whole thing about feeling powerless and not being heard. I could write a book about the patterns in the fields of baby boomers and how, you know, mothers being drugged at birth and parents' PTSD from World War II, you know, that was dealt with by smoking cigarettes and drinking, you know, the three martini lunch. It's not hard to understand why the self-help movement has exploded, and also why we've had so much confusion and difficulty around food and digestion.
Well, you should write such a book, because we have, 10,000 baby boomers retiring every single day?
Yeah. Who have the time and the money, and, you know, their biggest concern is their health. And I think that if they were able to really grasp, you know, how so many of the problems that they struggle with and feel guilty about, you know, just aren't their fault and have their roots, you know, all the way back at birth.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, you owned a restaurant. I still own a restaurant. And my restaurant is located in an area with a lot of active retirees. And it's unfortunate that I see them popping their pills every
yes.
night. And I think, you may be living a longer life, but I wonder how much of that is quantity and not quality, because those synthetic products you're ingesting all the time. And don't get me wrong, folks, I'm not parsing blame here, or I'm trying to judge people. But if they knew that a lot of those pills that they take may be contributing to other things.
Absolutely. You know, I just came across some research that was linking statin drugs and low-fat diets,
yes.
low-fat diets that are producing, that they prescribed to people with heart disease, to Alzheimer's.
Yes.
Because blocking, you know, the brain is fat, it's cholesterol. And
correct.
So when you block the production of that, you starve the brain.
That's right. 25% of our energy is produced is needed by the brain. So if you take the cholesterol out of it, well, number one, you're going to atrophy your muscles. What's your heart? A muscle. Yeah. What are your kidneys? Muscles.
That's
so a lot of people who die because, you know, they had high cholesterol, they're, you know, after they start taking Lipitor, for example, what is it? Tim Russert. Do you remember Tim Russert?
Mm-mm.
The news guy, the man who had the very important TV show. Well, you know, his doctor said, hey, we need to, your cholesterol is fine, but you should start, be proactive and take these pills. Well, 3 months later, he died of a heart attack.
Hmm.
And what would people say? Well, so-and-so died because they had high cholesterol. In fact, they probably died because the cholesterol-lowering medication weakened their heart.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that there are, you know, I think that we're going to move in the direction of biofield medicine, of understanding the electromagnetic aspect of the body. I think it's inevitable. I think it means a big sea change as far as the economy goes, because when you start treating people at the level of mind, which is really what we're doing here, you stop things before they start. You know, you treat it when it is still an incoherent or pathological oscillation in the field, because when people get to be about 60 and their essential vitality begins to decline, all of these old traumas and memories and patterns in their electromagnetic system start to act on the body more. And so these aches and pains and illnesses of old age, I see over and over and over again that this symptom in the body is related to this traumatic event when you were younger, you know, on any level. I mean, I had somebody come in recently. She was a woman in her late 40s and her right shoulder was really hurting. And I found all of this scar tissue from age 7, when she had hit a tree and a sled really fast, and it gotten this severe whiplash in her whole body. And so she had all of this stuck, frozen energy in her field from that particular accident. And when we released that from the field, it released the physiology and her shoulder felt better. So being able to go back in time to the source point in the biofield of that particular accident and work there, or, you know, to release these traumas before they get to the point where they start to affect the body, is a completely different way of looking at and treating the body and the mind. And, you know, a modern medicine takes the mind right out of the equation and only works in what the mind has created, you know. And most, I mean, even the CDC says that 85% of illnesses are caused from stress. And you know what that means? It means emotion. It means mind. It means, you know, life experience and the way we're reacting to stress. So to just treat the body like a meat machine, well, we see, you know, the third leading cause of death is medicine at this point. Something
that's right.
Is really, really wrong in the way we're approaching this. And it needs to change, you know, and it needs to stop being driven by profit and start really being driven by caring, truly caring about helping people to experience true quality of life.
And that's such an important statistic. The third leading cause. What do we have first? I believe is heart disease, second by cancer. And I think cancer may be overtaking it in the near future if our environmental toxicity doesn't change. Mm-hmm. But the third one, my goodness, and people really don't pay attention to that. And they go to the doctor and they treat them like a demigod and they don't ask questions. But what do I know? I'm not a doctor.
I'll tell you, you know, it's funny, Mel, because I have people say to me, you know, people who are skeptics, and they would never say it to my face, but, you know, maybe on a YouTube video or something, that I'm a snake oil salesman. And, you know, I think, medicine is saying, just take this magical pill. Like, you don't have to change your diet. You don't have to change your lifestyle. You don't have to change your habits. You don't have to heal your relationship. You don't have to do anything except take this magic pill. Now, one of the side effects of this magic pill might be death, but, you know, take it anyway. Like, that's snake oil. And I think that people have just been really, really conditioned through brainwashing more than anything. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not opposed to Western medicine. I think that sometimes the magic pill is really the right thing for the right person. You know, there's a place for it. And certainly there's a place for emergency room medicine. But when we're dealing at a level of the stuff that has to do with our minds and our emotions, there are other ways to approach it. And we need to move in that direction.
Absolutely. And it's so important to be aware of all of this, because as you say, you're called a snake oil salesperson. And many of the people that I've had on this radio program, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, who was, I don't want to say he was killed because there's no proof yet, but he was behind a lot of the research about cancer and other things. And he was a very reputable medical doctor. He was also on Quack Watch. A lot of people are listed there. Mm-hmm. But then people don't question, why is it that hundreds of thousands of people die every single day at the care of their own doctor?
I know. Who are the quacks, really? Who,
right.
You know, me as a sound therapist, I haven't killed anybody yet. Right now, I would.
And it's no wonder, Eileen, that many of these alternative practitioners have to turn back a lot of these patients or clients, because they're at the point of no return when they come to them. So a lot of times they bring somebody who has stage 4 cancer and nothing has worked, a standard of care, you know, chemotherapy, radiation or surgery, and they come to them because they have no other choice. Well, guess what? They die. And who's to blame now? The alternative practitioner. So no wonder they have to turn back a lot of these people.
Yeah.
Now, can your modality, and I don't mean to get too emotional or personal about this, but it just gets me, because I see how people like you and many of the other people I interview are demonized all the time, and you're really doing nothing. I mean, turn on the TV. What is it? 70% or 80% of the commercials now are all pharmaceutical related, and you get most of the commercial with a big disclosure where somebody's talking really fast telling you how you can die from it?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, how can this also be, just because it's such a positive modality, doesn't mean that everybody can use it. Can this be detrimental to some people?
You know, It is contraindicated in certain things. I feel like when people become very ill and the sickness has gone deeply into the body, when there's a high level of toxicity, this work is actually contraindicated. So if people have cancer, if they have certainly late stage cancer, it is contraindicated because it's very detoxifying. What we're working with as we find these areas of resistance and stuckness in the electromagnetic system, there's a corresponding stagnation in the physiology. There's waste in cells that hasn't, you know, the body just hasn't had the resources to get moving because of the energetic stagnation.
And to take the trash out.
Yeah. So when we start getting the stuff moving, it dumps a toxic load into the system. And if people's detoxification pathways are gummed up or underpowered, they just end up, you know, being toxed and don't have the resources to move it through. I think that it could work, you know, if people were involved in a very comprehensive multimodal approach where they were getting lymph drainage massage and they were getting very clean food and, you know, had a variety of other kinds of supports, it could work. But as a standalone, working with people who are very ill, I find that it just makes them too toxic.
I'm not a doctor. I don't need to tell people that. I have a big disclaimer when the audio of this program starts, but I'm always interested in what detoxifies us, because I think a lot of the problems we have are, as you say, stress. People are working too much. They don't have enough time to exercise. So the trash is stuck there in their lymph nodes. Can this be detoxifying? And if so, how does it detoxify the body?
Well, when I first started receiving biofield tuning from my students, when I first taught my first class in 2010, and I was able to have people work on me, the way that I grew up, I had many older siblings, and I was told that I was too sensitive because, you know, I was getting picked on and tickled and this and that. And so I had to learn to take my emotional body and really suppress it. And so when students started working on me and finding all of this really locked down energy in my field and getting it moving, I spent a whole month producing mucus. I lost 7 pounds of mucus out of my body.
Wait, and it was how many pounds?
Through blowing my nose, just all of that stagnation just started moving.
7 pounds?
7 pounds. And I didn't change my diet or exercise or anything. I just blew my nose and coughed a lot. Then that's a really extreme end. You know, most people will not have that kind of experience. I've actually, you know, only ever heard of one other person who spent a month producing mucus. Most people will have mild flu-like symptoms, fatigue, maybe loose stools, in some cases rashes, headaches, or like emotional outbursts kinds of things.
Is it because the toxicity is detaching itself from our, let's call them our, you know, cellular walls in a way?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's just, you know, stuff that hasn't had the opportunity to be eliminated suddenly starts moving through the system and starts getting eliminated.
And you were mentioning the medical industry, and not to get back to that, but what I said about the microbiome producing 90% of our happy hormone, the serotonin, makes you wonder, if only 10% is produced in the brain, why is it that we have such an incidence of depression, anxiety, prescription, when in fact we should be focusing more on dietary changes, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it all boils down to money, really. I mean, the commercial food industry represents just billions of dollars of our economy, processed food, and, you know, I mean, it's really, it's just, everything's so financially embedded in the system. Really, truly, eating whole foods is what we should all be doing. You know, and eating to the wisdom of our own bodies, to know when we're hungry, to know what we should eat, to stop when we're full, you know, to choose food that's grown that isn't bathed in some kind of chemical cocktail. And unfortunately, you know, Madison Avenue has learned all too well the power of persuasion, the better living through chemistry mindset that has been, you know, foisted on all of us since the 40s or even before. And you know, people have been really unfortunately brainwashed by that mantra and think that science and chemistry is superior to nature. And, you know, they don't question. I mean, obviously more and more and more people are waking up to the fact that that it is not better living through chemistry most of the time. But, you know, we've had decades of really shocking chemical inputs into our systems.
And I have to take this opportunity and thank the listeners, because the mere fact that you're listening to us today just tells me that you are on the edge. You are on the edge. You have seen the light, because doing what I do every week, I learn something new. I'm learning something new today, and I will learn something new next week. So that makes me more equipped, and not to be judgmental, but when I go to friends or relatives' homes and I see what they're consuming, I used to point and say, hey, by the way, you shouldn't do this and that. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know why?
People don't like to be told how to eat.
People don't like to be told. It's their ego. They don't want to be told that what they have been doing all along is wrong. Okay. So now I just keep to myself, do what I can within my own island, and do this radio program. And people like those of you who are listening can impart that knowledge by leading by example. When people see you looking younger, looking healthier, looking thinner, people are going to start asking you, what is it that you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Now, can this be also effective or detrimental on people who have, say, a compromised immune system?
Well, I've actually found it to be helpful to improve immunity. A lot of immunity or autoimmune disorders are very often adrenal. They're very often related to some kind of historical stressor. So when we find, you know, the frequency field of that particular stressor, and we neutralize it, modulate it into a more coherent expression, then that sense of, you know, noise in the system, noise in the signal, dissolves into coherence, and the irritant that was there goes away. So it's actually been helpful with immunity and immune issues.
What are some of the improvements? I always like to know, again, before and after. What are some of the improvements healthy people report after going through sound balancing?
Well, I think the number one metaphor that I hear people use is that they feel lighter. That when we have stuck energy, it creates a kind of heaviness or like a sense of a low pressure system in us. And we're sort of dragging around, you know, our history with us and all of our baggage, right, that people talk about. So as we go through and we find these areas of stuck energy that's been heavy, that's been weighing on people, and we release it and allow that energy to go back into circulation, it has an energizing, brightening, lightening effect on people. So I think, you know, that's mostly what I hear. But really, because it works on so many levels, you know, people aren't in pain anymore, or they're not depressed anymore. They don't feel stuck anymore. Think of a really big part of what I treat is what I call stuckness, because we get into particular patterns of thinking and feeling and acting, and it can be really hard to get out of them. You know, we get into ditches, and as much as we try and our conscious mind, you know, wants to, our bodies keep acting out the same patterns. Energy flows along established pathways. And what biofield tuning does is it literally changes the patterns of flow within the magnetic field. So it gives people a big leg up towards changing their own behavior, you know, taking responsibility for starting to eat better, not indulging in certain kinds of thinking or getting stuck in a particular pattern of emotional response. It opens the aperture of possibility and potential and makes it so that we recognize that we have the power to make other choices and not just go into our default settings. And that is enormously empowering and liberating for people to, you know, to take it into their own hands, to not go to their doctor and say, fix me, but to go to their sound healer and say, help me get out of the rut that I'm in so I can fix myself.
And I'm wondering how much of these conditions are triggered by our mind. Oh. Do you think that our mind manifests a lot of these symptoms?
Yes, I do. I definitely do. But I think it's important to be cautious here, because if you extrapolate that thinking, you know, into, well, I got cancer and then it's my fault because of my thoughts and I couldn't control my thoughts. So, you know, I'm guilty of making myself sick. I work a lot with this concept that I call energetics, which is the tone of the song of our DNA and what we have inherited from our ancestors. We come very much preloaded with propensities towards anxiety, depression, addiction, cancer, certain types of behaviors.
Epigenetics.
Yeah, I differentiate it from epigenetics simply because epigenetics is saying that environmental factors cause different genes to express. And our ancestors, you know, had these experiences that have sent it along to us. But to me, working with sound, and because I'm not a chemist, you know, I call it energetics, which is, it's the tone, it's the tonal quality of, you know, the mood, the feel of the DNA, because it really is much more like a song than anything else. And it's a song that can be rewritten, that the key that it's in can be changed, that the minor chords can be turned to major chords. It's very, very malleable. And so I like the term energetics better to sort of describe what I'm talking about. But, you know, people really do, a lot of what I see people developing in their life, really, it's not their fault. It's certainly not the fault of their conscious mind. It's all of these deep subconscious, cultural, historical, familial, environmental factors that play into it as well. And I think that the New Age concept of change your thinking, change your life is dangerous. And limited, because there's just so much more to the equation than what we think, what our conscious mind thinks.
I think it was very important what you said, that we shouldn't engage in the blame game, because our body, gosh, our incredible body, it's actually given us an alarm for so many years. And sometimes people don't yield to those alarms. It's like taking a car that says, you know, blinking light because you need something. Right. Instead, we get out of the car and we disconnect the cable that tells us that there's something. What do? We take pain medication. We put a Band-Aid instead of actually looking at the source of the problem. We get a, God forbid, a tumor. Yeah. And we take it out, but we don't wonder, what did we do to cause that tumor, which was indeed storing all those toxins to avoid further problems. Right. And instead, we just take it out and not looking at the source of the problem. So the blame game is really important here to avoid, and instead own the fact that our body's telling us something.
That's right.
We just need to act upon it.
That's right. To listen to it, you know, and
to listen to it.
That's not what we're taught. And that's not what insurance pays for. You know, insurance will pay for you to keep taking painkillers and carry on, get back to work, take this Advil, get back to work. It doesn't matter that it's ruining your digestive lining. It doesn't matter that it's overburdening your liver. It doesn't matter that it's overburdening your kidneys, you know, take the Advil, get back to work. And you know, to really listen to our bodies and to really engage in self-care is a luxury. It's a luxury that most people can't afford, unfortunately. And most people have no choice but to kick the can down the road until it gets catastrophic. And then, you know, then we cut it out. And what I've learned through this work is to really pay attention to like the micro currents of movement in my body. If something starts to go just a little bit wrong, you know, I'll go get acupuncture. I'll get one of my students to work on me. I'll get a little chiropractic. So, you know, most of us who grasp preventive medicine and have the resources to make use of it realize the importance of just taking care of ourselves, these little things when they start. Most people, it seems to me, just don't have that luxury.
Indeed. And we have to take a one and only intermission. How can people buy Tuning the Human Biofield, Healing with Vibrational Sound Therapy, the book? How can people buy it, Aileen?
People can get it on Amazon, and they can also get it on my website. My website is biofieldtuning.com. That's all one word. And I also sell tuning forks that I've had custom designed and made, some of the highest quality tuning forks available in the world. I sell, and instructional DVDs. So if you want a signed copy, get it at biofieldtuning.com.
When we come back, let me just be brave and ask you this question, because you probably have tuning forks at your disposal, right?
I do. I have them right in front of me.
I guess you know where I'm coming from. Would it be possible to tap into it and just give us a sample of how they sound? For example, somebody suffering from XYZ, and this is what you use to address that?
Sure, we can do a little bit of that.
Excellent. Folks, don't go anywhere. Eileen Day McCusick is our today's special guest, and much more when we come back. This is Mel Fabregas, and you're listening to Sanitas. Don't go anywhere. Thank you for listening to the first segment of this very important Sanitas interview. If you enjoyed it and wish to listen to the rest, go to sanitasradio.com, click on Members or Subscribe, or tell someone else who will enjoy this and all our radio programs. If you're listening on YouTube, like, subscribe, and share it. Don't forget to visit the Sanitas store, where you can purchase pure organic sulfur, earthing and grounding products, supplements, our USB drive with all our shows, gift certificates, rebounders, and much more. Now, join me in the Sanitas member section to enjoy the rest. Thank you.